Well, welcome to in-person, on-site church. Also, welcome to those of you who are watching online church. We're going to continue online church for the near future, and we are glad that you could join us as well today. Today is a little different. I actually have a larger audience here today, more than four people. We're glad for each person that could be here today, and we're safely distancing ourselves from each other, and we are encouraging each other by our presence. So thank you for being a part of this online and on site. My message this morning is entitled, We Need You. And my text is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. So if you have your Bibles, please take it and turn there. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? If not, do I have a deal for you today? I want to encourage you to seek and to discern and to use the spiritual gifts that God has given you. The New Testament talks about spiritual gifts in four different passages. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, which is our text today. Spirituality is incredibly down to earth. To connect with the realm of the supernatural spiritual world, we do things here in the natural world. For example, to spiritually worship God as a church, we gather together on a Sunday in this natural world and we worship together. To spiritually serve God, we do things with and for each other all during the week in this natural world. To spiritually lead God's church, Christ has established leaders that serve Him in various roles and responsibilities in this natural world. And today, to spiritually serve God's people and share the gospel in our natural world, believers are given spiritual gifts. God can use us. So spirituality is incredibly down to earth and practical. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 about spiritual gifts. He writes, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's our text for today. And our text reveals four profound, simple truths about gifts. So this is a message for Christians. And we take all the spiritual gift passages, and I think we can see four basic spiritual principles about our spiritual gifts. First of all, folks, you all have a spiritual gift or gifts. First point, can't miss it. Verse 10 says, "As each one has received a special gift." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are saved, if you belong to the household of God, if Christ is ruling in you and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have a spiritual gift, guaranteed. Everyone has something to offer the body of Christ. Every person is needed in the body of Christ. You just can't sit around and do nothing. There is something for you to do to serve the Lord in the body of Christ. Peter wrote this. Good old Peter, you know. Peter had experienced God's grace in his life. When you think about Peter, he often failed the Lord. He was humbled and humiliated a number of different times. And yet God used him in powerful ways. Who was the guy who preached the first sermon when the church began on the day of Pentecost? Of all people, it was Peter. So if Peter can be gifted by God, you and I can be gifted. If God can use Peter, God can use you and I. Gifts. The word here is gift. The word gift is the word charisma in the Greek. It also means grace. Paul talked about gifts, of course, in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, and he said this in chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. He says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So the first fact that you and I are given here is that every one of us has a gift. Every one of us can be used by God in the body of Christ. There's equality. Every gift is equally important. There's diversity. There's a variety of different gifts that are used. No Christian is left out. Diversity is needed to complement each other. And you looked at the spiritual gift list in your bulletin, and you see there's a variety of gifts. They complement each other. We don't have to be jealous of each other. God uses different people for different things. So if you're saved, you have a gift or gifts. Praise God. Now, a gift is not a talent. Now, God can use a talent. God can transform a talent. But a gift is an act of grace that God gives us. And the purpose for it is the second point of this message. Last part of verse 10. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I like how the New Living Translation translates 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. The purpose of our gifts, one of those great purposes, is we get to serve each other. Christians can't be selfish. That defeats our gifts' effectiveness. In Jesus' name, we can serve others. God is gracious to us. We can share that grace to others. Gifts are gifts. That means they're not ours in the first place. God has given them to us. We are channels of God's grace in this world. God has manifold grace. The word manifold is an interesting word. It's not that thing that sits on top of your engine in your car. Manifold means many or various. There's all kinds of gifts. Gifts can be used for any occasion, for any need, for any person. There's a hymn that we sing every once in a while. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. He gives us gifts so that we can serve others. Serving others, serving one another, is one of those at least 35 one another's that are found in the New Testament. All these different things that we're to do with and for one another. And one of them is serving one another. So gifts are for others. They're not for selfish use. We cannot exercise our gifts alone. We need to minister to each other. We need to be with each other. I started preaching when I was in high school. And believe it or not, some of the best sermons I preached were on a tractor out in the field all by myself. back then, you know, we didn't have calves on the tractor, so I could stand. I could drive with one hand and preach with the other hand. Best sermons I preached. We're all by myself. Nobody was blessed. We need each other to use our gifts. Greatness in the kingdom comes by not our selfishness and not by lording over our gifts, but by serving others. We serve others because we have been loved and we can share that love with others. Do you serve people because you love others? You take opportunities to minister to other people with your abilities. A couple of principles about spiritual gifts I can share with you. A number of years ago, early on in my ministry, I read a book written by Howard Schneider. And he wrote another book entitled Liberating the Church. And up on the screen is some basic principles that he has in that book about spiritual gifts. And I think it's important to just remind ourselves these basic things. First of all, the most dynamic and prophetic thing the church can do, first of all, is to be a worshiping and serving congregation. And we're doing that today. Every believer is a minister, a servant, a priest of God. You're a priest. Every believer is called to ministry, and all God's people must be equipped to minister. That's why we're talking about spiritual gifts today. And every believer receives grace for ministry. Therefore, spiritual gifts must be identified and employed for God's glory. What do you like to do? What can you do? In our world today, in the circumstances that we are living in, it has been apparent that we need to apply our gifts from a distance. It's been kind of interesting. But you're able to do your spiritual gifts in your home with your family. You're able to do it from a distance. Sometimes we exercise our spiritual gifts online or on the telephone at a 6-foot distance. If your spiritual gift is teaching, guess what? You have an audience at home that you can employ that gift with. If your gift is music, Pastor Brian has put up some videos you can watch. You can sing to each other at home. If your gift is hospitality, you can bake something and take it to somebody and pass it to them through their door. If you have a gift of just encouragement, you can call somebody up on the telephone and say hi. You can exercise your gift even from a distance. We can do this. This is a unique time, I tell you, this is a unique time in our history. We got to be creative in how to exercise our spiritual gifts, certainly. I have a number of different articles that I found over the past few weeks on how to do church differently. And one of them is an article written by a guy by the name of Glenn Damman, no relation to John. There's only one M in his name. And he talks about some critical questions that churches need to ask. And one of the conclusions that he makes is this. Certainly these are challenging times requiring us to think creatively and outside the box in determining new and creative ways to build the church. On the other hand, this may be the very thing we needed the most to get us outside the church walls and back into the communities we are called to serve. Interesting observation. He says, in the end, when we finally can reconnect physically as a church, we may have discovered new and innovative ways to do ministry, transforming us to be more effective and intentional in ministry. So God can bring good out of what we're going through. So what I find is interesting, saw this in the news the other day, large churches are trying to figure out how to be small churches. Hey, we got that figured out already. And of course, what's funny is we're trying to become a larger church. Now we discover that being a smaller church is actually the better thing. One of the principles that you're going to be hearing more is that smaller will be viewed as safer. So take this as our advantage. Smaller will be viewed as safer. However, on the other side of this whole thing, I cannot accept that distance is the permanent new normal. Serving others does involve, and these are all New Testament principles, serving others does involve personal touch, like laying on of hands. It does involve baptisms, and we like to use a lot of water. It does involve communion. It does involve sharing meals together. All those are New Testament principles that we have to get back to. This cannot be the new normal. Plus, the Bible does describe the body of Christ like a marriage. And you cannot have a vibrant, healthy, intimate marriage through Zoom or Skype, through email or texting, through Facebook or YouTube at a 6-foot distance wearing a face mask. It does require personal touch. So we'll get back to that. But in the meantime, we still can use our spiritual gifts. So that's the second point I wanted to make. You use your spiritual gifts to serve others. The third point is you use your spiritual gifts through either speaking or serving. Verse 11. Whoever speaks is to speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Here we learn what spiritual gifts are. There's two broad categories, speaking or serving. Whatever gifts you have, it's under those two, speaking or serving. You look at the list that's in your insert there, and you can see apostle and evangelist and preacher, pastor, knowledge, wisdom, exhortation, prophecy. Those are all speaking gifts, encouraging, exhortation. When you are speaking, you're out front, you're using your voice. This spiritual gift is not the gift of gab, nor is it like us butlers who we like to talk even if there's nothing to talk about. Spiritual gifts, we're speaking on behalf of God. We're speaking the utterances of God. Whether you're a musician, you're speaking, or a Sunday school teacher, you're speaking utterances of God. When you speak, you are speaking God's word to other people. We use God's word, the word of God, the Bible. We talk about what the Holy Spirit lays upon our heart. In fact, we're compelled to speak. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." When you have a speaking gift, you are compelled. You believe you have no other choice. And God gives you the words. A number of months ago, I remember having a conversation with somebody at my other job, and they asked me, "How do you know what to preach?" And the answer I gave, I said, "You know, in mainline churches that follow a church calendar, they're kind of given passages of Scripture and ideas on what to preach." I says, "The churches I've been a part of, we're part of the free church movement. And the free churches, we preach the needs in the church. We preach to what God lays upon our hearts. And every Sunday in every one of our churches, there's something different. We speak as God prompts us to speak. Sometimes it's a wrestling match. I can tell you a couple weeks ago, I struggled on what to preach. I had three different sermons. The sermon I gave was the sermon I determined on Friday. Sometimes it's a struggle. What are the needs? What do they need to hear from the Lord today? But if you have a speaking gift, God lays it upon your heart what to say. Gives you the words to say. So if you have a speaking gift, praise God, you get to use it for His glory. You share God's word, not your words. You need to study carefully, you need to prepare, you need to read, you need to listen, you need to determine what the needs of your audiences are, and you need to spend time in prayer, preparing yourself to speak on behalf of God. That's the first category. The second category is serving. This is with your hands and with your resources, the material and the physical needs of people. Sometimes it's behind the scenes, sometimes it's out front. Again, on your list, hospitality, giving of your time, your money, helping fix things. I think about the different people who do different things in this church. And let's see, Connie makes sure that you have food for fellowship. Praise God for that, right? Darlene makes sure the bulletins are printed and lawn is mowed. Shannon makes sure the place is clean. John's in charge of the deacons. The list can go on and on of people who have serving gifts that makes sure that things in the church get done. If you have the gift of serving, you do it with quality. You work hard, you're creative. You keep learning and looking for opportunities to improve things. You seek God's strength. Serving, you do so as one serving by the strength which God supplies. So speaking or serving, whatever your gifts are, it falls into those two categories. Somewhere in there. Where do you fit in? There's a lot of different gifts. And I listed 19 gifts in the bulletin there. How do you find which gift is yours? Again, this is in the bulletin, but also up on the screen. How do you find out which gift is yours? Well, a couple of different things to do. First of all, explore the possibilities. Listen to this message. Look at the scriptures. What gifts are out there? What opportunities are there? Experiment. Be willing to try what you are interested in. If you're out mowing lawn and you think you got the spiritual gift, try preaching sometime. See if that works. Might. I remember a few years ago at First Baptist, we had a couple guys that were interested in seeing if they could preach, and we gave them the opportunity to preach. And they did a great job, and they decided that wasn't their spiritual gift, but they still did a great job. So explore possibilities. Examine your feelings. Do you find satisfaction? Do you find joy in serving Jesus? Evaluate your effectiveness. Have you helped others spiritually? And expect confirmation from the Bible or from the body. What does the church family say about your service? Hey, that was a good job teaching Sunday school. Hey, I enjoyed your music. Boy, those cookies were sure delicious. What compliments do you receive? Thanks for the card you sent me. Thanks for the call. Thanks for visiting me. What confirmation do you receive? What's available at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship? One of the things I've encouraged Josh and leaders is come up with a list of all the different tasks that are here. There's more than you think. You can fit into something there, I'm sure. So that's the third point. The fourth point is you use your gifts to bring glory to God. Last part of verse 11. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Besides serving others, you want to glorify God. That's the bottom line. You do it through Jesus Christ, gospel-centered, gospel-focused. Jesus' name above all names. God is glorified by our variety of gifts and the value of our gifts. He is glorified by our quality and our character of sharing those gifts. Our gifts are used openly for His glory as we serve others. One of the great hymns that we may have sung in the past is, "Give of your best to the Master." We want to do the best we can to serve God, to give Him the glory. So Jesus works in us. The Holy Spirit works in us. God is glorified by our words and by our actions. And He is lifted up forever and ever. Just think about this. Whatever we get to do in this natural world lasts for eternity when we serve the Lord. So spirituality is incredibly down to earth. To love and to serve God who lives in the supernatural world, we are to use our spiritual gifts in this natural world, sharing the gospel for the glory of God. So look over the list. Spend some time in prayer this week. What do you like to do? What abilities do you have? What talents do you have that God can transform? What are you interested in doing? What areas of need are there in the church that you might be able to help fill? What work does God bless that you do? My first real preaching to people, and not on a tractor, was also when I was in high school. My grandpa Butler did nursing home services in the nursing home in Green, Iowa. And he gave me my first opportunities to preach. I don't remember what I preached. I just remembered I prepared hard and I took my Bible and I went to this nursing home. And back then, the nursing home was a big old three-story house. And there were people everywhere. I mean, there were people in the hallway. There were people in the kitchen, there was people in the living room, there's a big old living room, you know, and I would, Grandpa Butler, he'd lead some singing, Grandma would play piano, and then he'd turn it over for me to preach. And they were very gracious to me, maybe because they were hard of hearing, couldn't hear me, or maybe they were fast asleep, but there were people that would smile. At least Grandpa and Grandma Butler heard me preach. But that's how I started preaching. Josh, how did you begin ministry? You know? Pastor Brian, how did you begin ministry? It's amazing how God starts us and how God uses us. How's God using you? What things are you interested in doing? What things can you do? We need you. The Church of Jesus Christ needs you. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship needs you. For those of you online, whatever church you're a part of, your church needs you. You can start at home right now as we shelter at home. You can start at home. You can spend some time in the Word, seeking out the gifts, spend some time in prayer, asking God to direct you. And you'll be surprised. God can use you and will use you in amazing ways. To God be the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father.